celebrate Chanukah on Kafhev Kislev is because Chanukah, they rested on the 25th day of Kislev. If the Maccabees would have finished the war against the Greeks on Purim, then when would we celebrate it? Purim. And we'd have more reason to party. A souf kanyon and wine would be amazing. Right? If we finish it on Pesach, it'll be Pesach, right?
You would throw up.
Incorrect. And we're going to see that it's not true. There was a specific reason why Kafhev Kislev was chosen to be the date that Hanukkah was celebrated. And you heard this already?
I think from Rav Noam.
Oh, if you went to Rav Noam, sure, we're both missing this on the same.
Oh,
okay, sorry. Oh, in which case, Chazara is always good, so it's not the end of the world. It's okay. Or you can go learn more from different Torah. That's good. Okay. Rav Noam gave you a chair this already?
Yeah. Oh,
really? Fine. Oh, he does a much more in-depth version. So. For those who are in Rav Noam, it's okay.
I'm in
this chair,
but I never heard this chair.
That's okay. Wait, so listen up. So, in source number one, Chagai Bet Yud Chet, it says the following. Simunu l'mavchem min ha-yom hazeh v'mala mi ha-yom 24 l'chi'i l'min ha-yom asher yusad echal Hashem simu l'mavchem. Listen up. On this day, on the 24th day of the 9th month, which was the day which the Heichal of Hashem, i.e. the Beit HaMikdash, started to be founded, started to be built. So coincidence, who knows, on the 9th month, which is Kislev, on the 24th day, Chagai begins his prophecies, and on that day they started to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash, on the 24th day of Kislev. So is that a coincidence that it happened to Jews the day before
Chagai?
Oh, so now we have to explain. This must be more than a coincidence. What's going on here? Who's Chagai? What's the history? So before we get to Chagai, let's start with Yirmiyahu.
What book is this in?
The Book of Chagai, which is part of the Treyasar. Okay, the 12 books that nobody ever reads. So let's start with Yirmiyahu, another book that people don't really read so much.
Okay. I don't learn that.
Nobody really learns Nach, which is what makes this year interesting. Baruch Hashem. So in the book of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, who's also a bullfrog, so Jeremiah makes a prophecy that the Jewish people are going to get kicked out of their land and they are going to be exiled and the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Does this prophecy come true?
Yes.
Yes. Book of Echa was bad. But don't worry, says Yirmiyahu, because at the end of the day, after 70 years, the Jewish people are going to come back to that land. Okay? If you don't believe me, look at source 2. Yirmiyahu, Chof Gemuchet. Ki im chay Hashem asher elev, asher hevi et zera beit Yisrael me'eret safona, mikol ha'aretot asher yidach lan sham, yashubu al natmatam. In the end of days, the Jews are going to come back to the land of Israel from all their places they've been scattered to the land of Israel. Great. Now, what do they have to do, next source, in order to merit to come back? It's not just that they're going to come back. They must do something in order to get back. What do they have to do? After 70 years, I'm going to bring you back. But only when you search me out and yearn for me, when you search me with all your heart, then I'm going to turn you to the land of Israel. And I'm going to gather you in and bring you back to the land of Israel. So what is the Tanai? What do the Jewish people need to do in order to merit to come back to the land of Israel? Search out Hashem, do tshuva, repent, the end is near.
Do we define him?
What?
Do we define him?
Do we have to find him? We got to find him. Do we have to find Hashem? God is playing hide and seek. He's hiding, we have to seek him. You with me? Now, after 70 years, do the Jewish people come back to the land of Israel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the Purim was celebrating that they didn't. That was the 70th
year.
Right?
Hold on. So what happened 70 years later? The declaration of? Almost. Balfour Declaration. Close. Almost.
Cyrus.
Very good. We're getting there. Okay?
Miley.
So anyone who's ever read the book of Ezra knows that in source number 4, Ezra says, in the 70th year, when Yirmiyahu predicted it, Ha'ir Hashem et Ruach Korash Melech Barach v'yavar kol v'kom achtov v'kam mechtav l'mor, and he writes a beautiful letter, skip, mi b'chem mikol amo yeh l'kav imo v'yal Yerushalayim, whoever is for God, right, mi l'Hashem alai, right, notice the imagery, it's interesting, go up to Yerushalayim, asher b'yudav, ha'iven et bet Hashem el keisher, hu el kim asher b'yushalayim, go out and build the land of Israel. And of course, once the Jewish people get permission to go back to the land of Israel, who goes up to Israel? Rav Kalman and the other crazy religious Zionists, and most people stay in America. I mean, Bava.
You're
back home. Wow, beautiful. Anyways, okay, so during the time of Ezra, the prophecy was fulfilled that the Jewish people would come back to the land of Israel, and the Jewish people do start rebuilding the Mizbeach. But unfortunately, as the book of Ezra and Haggai tell the story, what happens after, what unfortunately happens?
It doesn't get destroyed,
but the building never really happens. The building never really happens. Our enemies and terrorists rise up to...
It
absolutely could have happened, but what didn't happen?
Why
didn't happen? Because the Jewish people stayed in their comfy homes in Bavel, and they did not physically go up to the land of Israel. A very small percentage of Jews came up to Israel. So while they started building the Mizbeach, right, they had all these enemies, and they only started the process, but for the most part, it was a failure. We're talking now the second Beit HaMikdash.
All right.
Okay? We're talking now the second Beit HaMikdash in the Tkufa of Shivat Zion, when the Jewish people had the opportunity to come back, but instead it was only a partial success. There was intermarriage, the Mizbeach was built, but the Beit HaMikdash was not fully built, and most importantly, the Shechinah, the open miracles, God's presence was not manifest in the same way that God and really wanted it to happen. Okay? And if you don't believe me, look in Ezra Gimel Yud-Bet. Hold on. You look in the guys, we're now on the second page. Guys, check out the second page. You with me, guys?
Ezra.
Okay, Ezra. V'rabi me'akonim al-vi'im rashi avot haskenim asharu at the bayit rishon. Those, the old people who saw the first Beit HaMikdash, v'yasto zeh abayit b'neim bochim b'kol gadol. They were crying. And there were others who were dancing and singing. But some people were crying. Why were they crying?
Because it was uglier than the last one.
Right, exactly. Because it did not compare to the first Beit HaMikdash. You could not compare it. Okay. Good. Now, that's not the end of the story. Don't worry. Because 18 years later, there's a new hope. There's a new king in town after Koresh. And his name is?
Daryavish.
Okay? Related to the Esther story, the son of Esther, according
Darius.
To the Gemara, Darius. And Darius offers new hope, another person who's willing to let the Jews rebuild the Beit HaMikdash and come up to the land of Israel. Okay? Now, what other prophets happened to live at the time of Darius, when Darius lived?
Ezra and
Nehemiah were in a similar time period, but Haggai and Zechariah were written at the exact same time period as Darius. How do I know this? Because look at the book of Haggai. Source 2 on the page 2. Bishnat Shtayim L'Daryavesh, during the second year of Daryavesh. HaMelech B'chodesh HaShishi, V'yom Echad Chodesh, HaYadvar Shem B'yad Haggai Yanavi, El Zerubbabel Ben Shealtiel, Patach Yudya, V'el Yeshua Ben Yotadach, HaKohen Gadol. So God speaks to Haggai and Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was like the physical leader, and Haggai was like the spiritual leader, the spiritual prophet. Ko amar Hashem tvakot leimor, ha'amazeh amru lo et ba'et ba'et Hashem libanot. The nation says it's not time to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'idvar Hashem b'yad Haggai anavi leimor, ha'et lachem atem lashevet v'vatechem tzvunit v'abayit hazeh harev. Is it a time you yourself to dwell in your sizzled houses while the house lieth waste? In other words, you're living in these beautiful houses, and who's homeless?
Hashem.
In other words, what does Haggai want the Jewish people to do right now? He wants
rebuild
them
to rebuild
the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, Haggai saying, "Yalla, get up there and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash." Now again, historically, why did it make sense that the Jewish people were not rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash yet?
Because they didn't have enough money, or they weren't bankrupt.
Because this is very important to understand the rest of this year.
No nefesh.
Because in the first Beit HaMikdash, the people didn't rebuild the Beit HaMikdash until They had money and political sovereignty. Right? It took them hundreds of years until they rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash, because first they needed to be established, and only then could they build the Beit HaMikdash. The people thought, oh, we're not going to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash until we're established in terms of... I'm talking in 18 years now. It's been 18 years and the Beit HaMikdash still has not been rebuilt. But
then they say, oh, because it's not been
70
years.
No, the 70 years had already way passed. The people, Jewish people were back, but they still had not rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash because they didn't have sovereignty and they didn't have economic prosperity. And they thought, like in the first Beit HaMikdash, we're not going to rebuild it yet. Comes Chagai in a chiddush, in a prophecy from God, and says, no, it's different this time. This time you have to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. If you rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, come back to the land of Israel. If you build it,
he will come.
It will come, just like in Field of Dreams, right?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie. Anyway, so that's the message of Chagai, given when? In the second year of Dariavesh. Okay, you had a question, Benny?
Yeah, just on what Yitro was saying, I think there's an idea that, like, they thought they were supposed to come back, like, 70 years after the exile, but then they ended up building it 70 years after it was destroyed. So there was, that's like a discrepancy, and that's...
It could be, as far as I remember, it seems to be unclear when the 70 years was, and that was the reason why
right.
There's confusion in terms of Cyrus. In terms of Darius, which was 18 years later, I don't think that's the reason why they didn't rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, but maybe, perhaps. I don't know, it could be. Anyways, okay, I'm conjecturing why they didn't rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. It's not written in any sources.
Right.
That's just a conjecture. Okay, anyways, Cyrus makes this insight. You with me? I mean, Haggai. Now, here's the thing. Haggai makes another prophecy at that exact same time. This is the key to understanding the whole Shia. Haggai in source 3, Beit Chaf Aleph, says, Emor el Zerubbabel, Pachat Yudah, say to Zerubbabel, Lemor animar ishet ha-shamayim ha-aretz. I am going to thunder the heavens and the earth. Va'afachti kiseh mamlechot yimshmaridi chosek mamlechot ha-goyim. I'm going to shake up and down all the heavens and the earth. Va'afachti merkavah v'rachveh. I'm going to take the horses and their chariots. Ve'yardu susim rachvehem ish v'cherev ish. I'm going to knock down all of the chariots of the great kingdoms. In other words, what is Haggai predicting?
Armageddon,
and the Jewish people are going to knock down their enemies, and they're going to win against their huge, powerful nation. That's what he prophesies is going to happen. Okay? Fascinating. If you look at Rashi on that pasuk, and if you would read innocently reading Rashi on this pasuk, what does Rashi say? During what time period does this refer to? Vani Marish, who wants to read it? Who sees that? The Nisim that will happen at the time of Chashmonaim. Okay, so he says it's a prophecy which refers to later. But at that time, it seemed like Haggai was prophesying for his time period. That right, we're going to win that war. Now, one final, you know what? Before we get to Zechariah, I want to, now we're finishing up the sources, let's do a tiny bit of history lesson. Is the prophecy of Haggai ever fulfilled that the Jewish people are going to come back and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash and knock out all of our enemies? Does
no.
that
happen?
Yes.
No.
Second Beit HaMikdash.
Hold on. So this is the second Beit HaMikdash. During Haggai's time period, it does not happen. The Jewish people do not come back in mass. The Beit HaMikdash is not rebuilt to the same extent that we wanted it. And the Shekhinah doesn't seem to come back. There's no open miracles like in the first Beit HaMikdash. Okay? And it seems as though that his prophecy goes unfulfilled. Okay? Now, there's a reason why his prophecy goes unfulfilled.
Because he's a false prophet.
You could say that, or perhaps as another alternative.
Isn't it because it doesn't have to come true because it's contingent upon the Israelite
community? Exactly. Because there's another prophet who lived at that time period, and his name is Zerubbabel. And he lived at the exact same time period. And Zerubbabel makes it very clear, even clearer than Haggai, that this is...
Do you mean Zechariah?
I'm sorry, Zechariah. My bad, Zechariah. And Zechariah makes it clear that this is a dependent prophecy. If you do this, then this will happen. What do the Jewish people have to do in order to merit the prophecy coming true? So look at Zechariah Aleph Gimel. Va'amarti alehem, ko amar Hashem tvakot, shuvu alai ne'um Hashem tvakot, va'ashuv alechem amar Hashem tvakot. Return again, return again, return out to the land of your soul. Zechariah was the first Rishlomo Chazit. So, what do the Jewish people need to do in order to merit to make this coming? They need a return, both physically and spiritually, right? Chagai is like guys, this is important to note. Chagai is like the religious Zionist guy. He says you got to do tshuva, but you also got to move to the land of Israel, make aliyah, right? And then Mashiach will come. Zechariah is the black hat guy. He says, just do tshuva, repent. He doesn't mention physical tshuva. He just says, return. Repent, the end is near. Okay, but either way, Zechariah makes it clear. The prophecy is dependent on the Jewish people doing tshuva and coming back. Okay? So as we mentioned, unfortunately, the Jewish people stay in Babel for the most part, only partially come back. They start the process of the second Beit HaMikdash, but they never have political sovereignty. The Greeks rule over them. They never rule over their land, which they had done for the 900 years prior, before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed during that first time period.
Okay? And they have a lot of trouble while trying to build.
Nachon, in Nehemiah tells the whole story that the Beit HaMikdash, every time they tried to build, by the broad wall, right by where the kids play, you can actually see the broad wall over there, and they every time they were trying to rebuild it, you know, the terrorists of the time wouldn't let them do it, they had to do Shmirot. So it tells the whole story. Fine. Now, years pass, hundreds of years pass, and the prophecy is still unfulfilled. Until the time of 167 BCE, during the time of the Gzerot of Antiochus. Okay, and Antiochus makes all these terrible decrees. Can't do Rosh Chodesh. You can't make a Brit Milah. A woman, before she gets married, has to sleep with the hegemon. So that, like, just to defile the holiness of the Jewish people. Shlomo said they weren't letting the Jews dance and sing and keep the Torah with our heart and soul. So they make these terrible decrees, these decrees. Okay? And then there's a revolt for 3 years. Who fought against them? The Maccabees. The Maccabees. The Maccabees. Right? You guys ever saw the
Rugrats
stuff?
Can we make that a TV show right now?
We should.
The Maccabees.
The Maccabees got to do what a Maccabees got to do. Give up.
There is a Rugrats
Come on, guys. Okay. Caution, you got to watch that. I'm going to do the candlelight.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
It's really the highest. We're going to watch
the candles.
While you're staring at the kids. Okay, anyways, so the Maccabees come, they fight this war, and then they win miraculously. They beat literally the dominant world power of the entire world. That's why this is important historically. And that's why the whole world writes about Hanukkah, because they somehow knocked down this crazy world. Okay? And now here's the crux of the story, guys. When the Maccabees won that war, okay? A miracle happens. And this miracle happens to involve a candle which lasted 8 nights, when it was really only supposed to last 1 night. Now, in the scheme of things, is this a big miracle or a small miracle?
Small miracle.
Small miracle. Right, if it was in like that book, Small Miracles, great book, it would merit. It's a small miracle. A little night. Right, if you look in the Gemara, there's many small miracles like this. The vinegar turns to oil. There's many, many small miracles like this. How many people even saw it? Not so many people. It's not written in Sefer Maccabee. Okay? But the Maccabees see this miracle. Okay? And what are they thinking to themselves when they saw that little fire that lasted 8 nights?
Let's say we used our miracle token.
We can't fight the wars.
It happened after the war.
Now, it's a fulfillment of which prophecy?
Of Chagai's
prophecy. They saw themselves as the fulfillment of Chagai's prophecy of Ani Marish Lachem, I'm going to conquer our enemies. And they saw the miracle of the candles as a fulfillment of the spiritual prophecy of Zechariah, that this is Hashem stamping his approval and showing that this is not just a war that you're fighting, but this is me aiding you in this war, me bringing back your Shekhinah. Now, if you don't believe me, look in the final two sources. In the prophecy of Zechariah, Bet Yudalad, and Dalad Alephav. Okay, you with me?
Yes.
Last two sources. And then we're just a little bit historical Hashlamot and Sefer Malkamim, and we'll put it all together. Roni v'simcha bat Zion kini bat ba v'shachanti b'tochachnu Hashem. Sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion. My Shechina is coming back to the land of Israel. This is the Haftorah 4. Can anybody guess?
Shabbos
Chanukah. What are the odds? We happen to read this on Chanukah, right? Roni v'simcha, dance and rejoice. Nice. It's all in your schut. Dance and rejoice because the Shechina is coming back to the land of Israel. Right? And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and shall choose Yerushalayim again. So the Zechariah talks about how God's presence is going to come back to the land of Israel and it's going to reunite Yerushalayim to Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Now what is the imagery which Zechariah evokes to symbolize the Shekhinah coming back to the Jewish people? Dalad Aleph Vav, Vayashav Amalach, Adover Abi, Vayirenu Ki Ish Asher Ye'ur Mishnato. And the angel that spoke with me returned and waked me. And Zechariah has a dream. He has a dream. Vayomer Alai, Ma'ata Re'eh, Vayomer Ra'iti V'nei Menorat Zahav. There's a golden menorah. Kula V'gula Arosha V'shiva Ne'ratea, with seven candles, Shiva V'shiva Mutakot Lerot Asher Arosha. And with candles on its head. Okay, and Ushnaim Zeitim and olive oil, right? One right, one left. Maybe that's why we like Hanukkah from right to left. Who knows?
These are one of the many weird dreams
he has. But check out the meaning behind this particular menorah dream. Okay, look in pasuk vav bayan meomer alai lama ze dvar Hashem lizvara lemar. What's the meaning? Lo bechayil velo bekoach. Because in my spirit, says God. In other words, Zechariah is telling us that the menorah always symbolizes, not by physical might do you win wars, but by the spirit of Lord. So now, when the Maccabees saw this miracle of the candle of the menorah happened to them, what's the imagery for them? What's the clear message?
There's a spiritual reawakening.
The Shekhinah is coming back. This is not just a coincidence. It's Hashem bringing His presence back to the Jewish people. Okay? And this is also a challenge for the Jewish people that you need to bring my spirit back. You need to do tshuva. And only then will this miracle continue to last. And that's what they saw of the miracle of the candles. It wasn't just a cool miracle. It was it was telling them that if you look hard, that you realize that Hashem is the one running the show. In fact, if you think about it, there's another. I didn't bring this in the source sheet, but there's another time in the Chumash. This I don't think Rav Noah mentioned. This is a Chiddush of Rabbi Foreman. Where else in Chumash do we see a small miracle involving fire? Where you have to look really hard in order to...
Burning bush.
Exactly, the burning bush, the snack.
Burning bush.
If you wouldn't look hard, it wouldn't even be a big deal that there's a fire. You have to stop and realize, oh my God, there's a fire happening. There's a burning bush that won't burn up the candle. Right? There's a fire happening, and that's the burning bush, and that's the miracle of the small candles. Meaning it's something you wouldn't notice, but it's really Hashem running the world. It's Hashem putting His Shekhinah in there, even when you wouldn't notice. Okay? Now for just a little bit of history. In Sefer HaMakabim, it does not tell the story of the candles. But what it does say, fascinatingly, is that the Greeks specifically chose the 25th of Kislev to be the day when they offered their sacrifices on the Mizbeach, and slaughtered many Jews, 3 years before the Hanukkah miracle. Now, why would they specifically choose the 25th of Kislev to be the day that they did? Because that's the day that when there was this famous prophecy of Haggai, when they started rebuilding the second Beit HaMikdash, and when there were hopes and dreams. Maybe the Jews even made a holiday to celebrate the day when the Jewish people started dreaming of coming back to the Beit HaMikdash and fulfilling God's promise. Now, that was on the 24th, but the day afterwards, on the 25th, was probably the day that they started building, after he prophesied. So it's likely, and again, this is just the realm of conjecture, it's likely that that's why they chose that day to slaughter the Jews and to stick it to the Jews and say, this prophecy will never happen. And perhaps, we also know from Sefer Maccabim, that the Jewish people already had sovereignty over Har HaBayis in Cheshvan. Right? It says that they had already ruled over in Cheshvan. So why would they wait until the 25th of Kislev to dedicate the Mizbeach? And why would they choose that date specifically? Because that was the date which symbolized what? Again, according to Sefer Malkamim, they'd already had sovereignty over Beit HaMikdash and Kislev. So why are they choosing the 25th of Kislev to rededicate the Beit HaMikdash? Not because they won the war and they finished Chanukah.
Because of the spiritual.
Because of the significance, the spiritual significance of that day that specifically had that imagery. Why would they choose to make the highlight of the holiday? Why did the Gemara make the highlight of the holiday the candles? To show that it's not about the war. It is about the war. Of course it's about the war. But the candle symbolizes it's not just the war. It's the Shekhinah coming back, which is helping us win this war. In other words, it would be like, imagine in 1967, we won the war, and a miracle happened, which everyone saw, like, I don't know, the Kotel, or conquering the Kotel. We would say it's Kotel Day. The real miracle is winning the war, but like the small miracle is like the icing on the cake, which indicates God's presence, like, right, like the Kotel or something like that, right? Or like my miracle story that I told a lot of you guys about how I met the paratroopers who met that guy with the big white beard who showed them their way to the Kotel miraculously. Whatever, I'll tell you the story another time. But that would be like the spiritual miracle indicating that Hashem was behind the scenes running the show. And that's the real meaning why we light the candles on Hanukkah. It's not the miracle of the candles. It's what it symbolizes, the deeper meaning behind the war. Now, Bayamim Hahem Bazman Hazeh. Unfortunately, we know the miracle of Hanukkah, it was amazing. It lasted for 100 years. We had sovereignty. But then soon afterwards, what happened to the Jewish people? Midyamnim. They went off the derech and we lost sovereignty. And the Romans kicked us out and it didn't really last. And so we are still waiting for the full fulfillment of this prophecy. And in fact, just 70 years ago, the Jewish people, again, after 2,000 years of exile, were allowed back to the land of Israel, just like the prophet said, just like the Torah said, right? Never again happened in world history that the Jews were allowed to come back to the land of Israel. We were brought back to the land of Israel. We came back, and we're still lighting our Hanukkah candles, okay? And when we're lighting those Hanukkah candles, what are we really symbolizing to ourselves? What's the real message of those Hanukkah candles? Nachon, we're in the beginning of the process. On the one hand, we're singing and saying Halalon Hada'ah. We're saying who brought us back to the land of Israel then, and who brought us back to the land of Israel now in the last 70 years? Hashem, it's a Shekhinah. It wasn't a coincidence, right? It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a small miracle, but at the same time, it's reminding ourselves of Zechariah's essential message that the work is not done here, right? We're not. It's not okay. We got back to the land of Israel, but we still have to shuva aleichem. We have to think about in our own lives, how are we willing to light a neshama in our souls? How are we willing to sacrifice for the Jewish people? How are we willing to help other yidden come back to their roots? Right. And that's why it's crazy that Hanukkah is a holiday celebrated by the most Jews, even secular Jews. Even though if you think about it, what? Pesach and Hanukkah are probably up there together. But Pesach makes sense that everyone should celebrate the freeing of the Jewish people. That really makes sense. Hanukkah, if secular Jews would really think about the simple message of what Hanukkah is about, they would not celebrate it at all. It doesn't make any sense.
No, if you don't do Hanukkah, you're not
a Jewish person. But yet, tons of secular people, who are at least define themselves as secular people, still light Hanukkah candles, even though it's all against the war against Greek culture and secular culture. Because they must know deep inside that Hanukkah is really that candle, like Rosh Shlomo says, that we're lighting inside our souls. Hanukkah is mamish, and that's why you'll see tonight there's going to be hundreds of Israeli people, maybe the rest of the year. They don't light Shabbos candles, actually a lot of them do light Shabbos, but they don't necessarily keep every law of Shabbos. But they know that Hanukkah is about, it's something special. It's that lighting of the Jewish soul. And it's the time that we can start lighting our own neshamas on fire. And you know, that's good too. That's good too. You guys can take a big menorah in the...
No. Like, can we light the gold menorah? Oh.
Like, we could try.
You can get arrested.
You can